We're going to get started with our next speakers. First, we have Ashley Malero. Ashley earned both her bachelor's and master's degrees from Texas Tech University in social work. She joined the Arc of Texas in 2018. Ashley also serves as an advisory committee member to the Texas ABLE program. She created and directs the Future Planning 101 training series, which teaches individuals and families how to treat future planning, how to start future planning while they are still in school. She loves teaching social workers and other interns about the Master Pool Trust and disability services. She has served as a direct care manager and collaborated with care managers across the state to navigate quality of life issues for beneficiaries. And next we have Peter Wall. Peter Wall is the director of fiduciary services at TrueLink Financial. Prior to joining TrueLink, Mr. Wall developed and helped lead a dedicated disability and elder law division for an $80 billion nationally chartered trust bank with over 20 years of trust administration and planning experience. Peter focuses efforts in the elder law arena and is known for special needs trust administration and planning capabilities throughout the country. Peter obtained his Bachelor of Arts with honors graduate as an honors graduate at the University of Northern Colorado. And Mr. Wall is the past president of the Centennial Estate Planning Council and Board of Directors of Colorado Access Gallery, and currently serves on the Board of Directors for Easter Seals. Let's welcome Ashley Malero and Peter Wall.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. We've got a quick program, and I'm not going to say all that much. I'm going to turn it over. We're going to go over ABLE basics just to start because, you know, ABLE's been around for a long time. But you'd be surprised how often I get, and Ashley teaches all over the state on this as well, but I get asked by big national conferences to go over ABLE. And I'm like, guys, this has been around forever. You don't get it yet? So some of us are new practitioners, and I learn by, like, just repetition. So we're going to cover a little bit of the basics, and then Ashley's going to really dig down and show us some real-life examples of how ABLE accounts can really empower people with disabilities. So with that, I'll turn it straight over to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of us have heard about ABLE before. We've learned a lot about it, but I think that there's often times where we can pick up little nuggets each time we learn about ABLE or things we've heard of before. So we're going to start with the basics just to remind us what we're working with, and then we'll go into more specific details. So ABLE, as y'all know, stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. It was signed into law in 2014. And it provides individuals with special needs a tax-free savings account. So obviously, a big advantage is that it's going to grow tax-free. The accounts are authorized and under the jurisdiction of the IRS, not the Social Security Administration. So that's a question people ask often. Why can I pay for certain things like housing with ABLE and I don't take a reduction? And, you know, it's not the same thing when we use it with our supplemental needs trust. And that's because the IRS is who oversees this, not Social Security.
And they're, like, super cool, too. Yeah. Like, I got to get a shout out to the IRS, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
As we all enter tax season. But they've always been super friendly for people with disabilities, right? Think about the SECURE Act. Right?
Yeah.
And allowing the stretch now, or these ABLE accounts, or treating a first-party trust as a grantor trust, which flows through to the beneficiary and taxed at their level. So IRS, super disability-friendly.
Yeah, for sure. So the states began offering the accounts in 2016, so fairly new still. And then we have 45 plans available, and additional plans are forthcoming. So we're growing more and more. I think, you know, there are states that have even more than one, and so we'll continue to see them grow over time, I think. Only one account is allowed per individual, so that's a little bit of a difference. We only have one ABLE account per person with a disability. Now, their disability onset had to be diagnosed prior to the age of 26. So there are people who are obviously over the age of 26 who have an ABLE account. The important part is the diagnosis piece came before 26.
Yeah, and that's raising to 46 in 2026, right?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I think this is, you know, as practitioners and planners, you know, sometimes parents, as an example, are reticent to have their child diagnosed with as being on the spectrum, for example. because of the stigma attached to it, you know, whether that's silly or not is debatable. But now, you know, as planners, we can urge our clients to, hey, let's go ahead and get this diagnosis just so we can use an ABLE account, right?